welcome to another installment of the Evolution Exchange podcast. I'm joined with Hakan, Sebastian and Mona to talk about top tips of hiring high performers, which is something I think a lot of our listeners have struggled with, tried and succeeded with. So here are three experts and hopefully we're going to get some great answers from them. As usual, let's start with a round of introductions. Hakan, start with you.
Yeah, Håkan Sandström, manager IT at HED, working with ShareBet channels. It's Tillsammans and ShopShares.
Perfect. Brilliant. And then Sebastian?
Yeah, I'm Sebastian. I work as a CTO at the Noga Group, and we do complex e-commerce of interior design, basically high-end design.
Amazing. And then last but by no means least, Mona.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Mona Ailuti, and I am currently a product manager at Klarna Bank. I joined them a little bit less than 2 years ago, and happy to be part of the podcast again.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris Bennett here, the Nordics Managing Director here at Evolution. We're committed to doing recruitment in a different way that adds value to both our clients and candidates by providing you with amazing speakers and leading-edge discussions on what's going on in the tech scene at the moment. There are three reasons why you should contact me. If you would like to speak on a future podcast, if you are interested in hiring awesome tech, data, product or gaming freelancers for your business, or if you are looking for an exciting new organization to work with, please get in touch. Thank you so much for listening, and I really hope to hear from you soon. Please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Brilliant. Amazing. Well, thank you for those introductions. Now, everyone has prepared a topic or speaking point for this podcast. So we're going to start off with Sebastian. Sebastian, could you introduce your topic to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So the question to kick things off with is like, what actually is a high performer and what do you use as a criteria to identify that person? And maybe like more to the point, how do you make that like measurable? So, you know, okay, this is a high performer. What are the criteria for that? But most importantly, like ahead of hiring them, because it's much more easy to identify that when you have them in-house and you can observe them over time and maybe score them on what you find is the important criteria. But when you're just sitting in an interview or reading people's CV, like how do you identify the high performer?
This is a very big question in general, but thank you for starting the conversation with it. In my opinion, from my experience, it could be measured in like two ways, or one for the quantitative like indicators, for example, the hard skills, and the qualitative ones as well for their soft skills. So, for example, their quality of work. How they produce high quality work most of the time, and their attention to details. They are willing to go above and beyond expectations to make their work stand out. This is in general my point of view, as well as the like some of the soft skills, how they are actually talking to their colleagues and like demonstrating their leadership skills when needed. Demonstrating their creativity as well.
I also almost had the same question as Sebastian when I looked at the question. It was already written. So, in my point of view, it's as Mona says, it's very hard during the interview it's hard during the interview to see if they are high performers, and. Since we are building teams, so you want to have like a high performance team instead of just lots of single high performers. But when you have the interview, it's like how they perform, how they ask questions, how forward they are, and so on. So that's it's very tricky, I think, during the interview phase to identify high performers, just looking at CV and interview.
identify a high performing individual, but you're focusing on the high performing team. So how do you even touch the surface on how good a person is high performing in a team?
It's tricky because when you hire a person that could be like during the interview, he or her is very modest and stuff like that. But when you come into a team, they could be this high performance driver. So in my point of view, you should not be afraid to hire a person that is not that as skilled as a super senior person when you hire, because they could just be the perfect match in the team to be this high performance team that you want to have.
Sometimes it's like in the when you're doing an interview, it's crucial to try to measure if the or like to know if the candidate is not only high performance back in their like experience previously, but also how much they're willing to learn and to continue to be a high performer moving forward. So sometimes it's not only about their previous experiences. It's not easy, again, as you mentioned, it's, to figure that out in one interview. But sometimes it's crucial to measure their willingness to learn more and to grow with their teams.
I know like growth mindset is very important at Klarna, where you are more. So that is one way to really have a criteria that you can try to interview around and identify as the person fitting into this quality. And then that could be one of the check boxes to say like, yeah, this is a high performer. You said creativity. I like that one as well. And it's a little bit, you know, hard to maybe do a universal saying like this is a high performer, but this is there's maybe some categories that are general and some that are very specific to what you need at your company. Like this is someone who would perform highly at our company, and then you have maybe some individual scores, like maybe creativity is not good at some companies. I don't know. Bookkeeping, I don't know. Needs to be very exact. But Håkan, do you have any examples of how you identify high performing team? Like what are your criterias there?
Yeah, the high performance team are, it's easy to just measure the throughput, what they make, but also if they have a good team health, if they are keen to each other, they have a good culture in the team. So not just a machine or factor just to create and moving on to task stories and stuff like that. It's just like the full team, how they talk to each other, how they are, the mission of the team and everything like that. That is important, I think. And also back to the recruitment phase. It's when we do the, like we have a technical interview with the people, there you feel if they are more of a high performance, because in that interview, you usually meet the two seniors engineers and you feel how they talk to each other, the questions that they make and stuff like that. It's hard for these recruiters or the candidates when they meet me or a recruiter to have these questions. I think it's also very important to meet the team when you have this recruitment phase.
Yeah, I agree. It's crucial. It's usually the last step is to meet the team. However, I think it's more important, like it should be focused more on the beginning. In my experience, I had I interviewed for candidates for engineers and for product as well. For the engineers, my role usually the second step after the technical interview is over. So I ask them some sort of hypothetical questions, like what would you do in a situation if the whole team was on fire or something like that, to get a sense of how they would like work with the team on an environment, as well as for the product managers interviews in general. It's more about usually a lot of hypothetical situations and scenarios where they where you can assess their behavior or like a kind of their intuitive reactions to hypothetical situations. I think that's a nice way to know maybe more if the candidate is going to be a high performer or has been a high performer before. What's your experience in that, Sebastian?
I would say we've had very good success at previous companies when we actually brought people into work at our in our team for a few hours in a day, and there you can really, really tell if they, you know, take help, if they interact, or if they just zone in on their own thing. So that's one way to do it. The only, like, I agree with everything said. The only small reservation that I have is that some people in all situations, no matter if it's the initial interview or the code test or whatever, they can be shy and sort of maybe give the wrong impression compared to how they would act. Of course, it's impossible to screen for, and you have to sort of bet on luck, but some people can evolve after weeks in a team. But that, of course, is impossible to keep a sort of structured process around and just bring in 10 people and hope that six or whatever makes it. So that's the only reservation, that there is a chance to lose people there. And the question is if it can even be screened for correctly in this step. Very difficult.
I do think it's a good point. I think it was you, Sebastian, who said it, like meeting the team and they come across shy. What does everybody do if, you know, they're meeting two senior engineers, like you said, Hakan, and they're doing the tech test and one likes them and the other one is unsure? How do you navigate that situation where two of your current high performers are on the same page?
If they're not on the same page, you mean? That's because then we usually skip that candidate. I would really like to both to be synchronized there, because otherwise it could be an issue in the team. I think that's important. That all three of us should be, if we're three in the interview, that all should be on the same page. Otherwise, if it's like not gut feels good, then it should be like, no, we next candidate, unfortunately.
No, I think I agree there. I was, again, going back to what you said about it's a high performance team, not a high performance individual. I think having one kind of issue there, it can really affect the high performance of the other members of the team. So I'd agree with that. Mona, Sebastian, have you been in this situation before?
Yes. And I would say that the important middle step there, I agree with what Håkan said, that if the gut feeling is not good, that's usually the correct way to lean. But it's important to lift very clearly in a discussion with everyone why were you for or why were you against. And it's been many times where I had perceived the situation or someone else perceived the situation in one way, and then just hearing the other people's thought process actually changed my mind, or I changed other people's minds. So that's a very important prerequisite, because absolutely worst case, what you're creating is sort of an echo chamber where someone is feeling maybe a little threatened, like this person is maybe better than the existing people, and they can't really give actually a good reason for why they dislike the person, and it's maybe ego driven. I haven't seen that happen often, but it could be. So it's very important to put all the cards on the table and make sure that, yeah, this is actually based on something, like it's, you need to point towards a behavior or something they said or something very concrete, and not just end on the gut feeling is bad, but like why, very important.
Yeah, I feel the same when we are hiring for a new candidate, it's very challenging to know. It's very challenging to assess introverts' skills in general, because like the industry celebrates extroverted traits like charisma, networking, and so on. But some introverts, they really have distinct perspective into things. So sometimes categorized by attentive listening and like being more a bit empathetic and they have different, like a certain level of understanding that can be really important in bigger teams. So I find it very challenging in the hiring process to distinguish those traits in the candidates and promote, like empower them more to be like a high performer in the team moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mona. You really pinpointed there, because it could be like an introvert person that is a high performer that could hook up with a very extrovert person, and they could be like a magic team. One is a very high just a doer, the other one is very outspoken in meetings and stuff like that. So you just don't have to focus on this outspoken person. You can also find the good things in this little bit introvert person that is also very high performance or very sort of doers. And one tip also when we're doing the recruitment is that do not make the sleep on it before you make decisions on to move forward to this candidate. My first impression is always after a meeting is like, this is a perfect candidate. But when you start to think about it and talk with the people that you interviewed with, and they were looking at their perspective, it could be a little bit of sleep on it, and we'll take a decision in the next morning.
Nathan, I think we've moved on quite nicely to your question, Hakan. Do you want to kind of give us an introduction to that?
Yeah, I will. It's not more of a question. It's more of a topic. How do we think about when we meet these recruit candidates? What do we offer? What do they are looking for? What we found out is that much about the company culture, what the company culture is, work-life balance, not that much overtime, stuff like that. And also what has come up after the corona is hybrid workplace. Since we are we're located in Stockholm, a little bit outside Stockholm, so we are just letting the team decide if they want to be in the office or not in the office. And of course, they will come into the mandatory meetings that we have, but otherwise, it's up to the team. And that is something that lots of candidates really, really love.
Sebastian, do you go first?
Mona, I'm muted, but I can jump in. Yeah, I mean, you have to... people are high performers usually because they are hungry for something. They want something more. They want to evolve and grow. That's why they learn to move fast or be effective. So it's about like how do you facilitate that person to grow as much as possible. And you have to give the right freedoms under the right responsibilities and calibrate that after the individual's need. So I think a good way is to start to talk to the person and calibrate from what they think they want and write it down and note it, and then put your own layer of experience on top of it and push that person if needed. Like maybe, okay, you say you want to do X, let's do X times 1.2, like let's do it at 120% on this one, like just push them where needed or slow them down where needed. Facilitate their experience facilitate their ambitions, but also help them get the most experience possible at your company. And that's how they will stay, because they will know that they don't get the same opportunities elsewhere. Make sure that they feel that they're growing constantly in a way that is not possible elsewhere, and keep on listening in which direction they want to go with their career as well. And of course, probably take in a aspect of what does your company actually need for the moment. If a person just wants to run towards AI as quickly as possible, but that's not what they're hired for, maybe help them get some creativity in that area, but help them also grow where their role is right now, and help them get there in a way that is beneficial for everyone.
I totally agree with you, Sebastian. I think it's crucial to to have this cultural fit question in the hiring process. I think it's the pivot point that transforms a high-performing individual to a high-performing team if they are actually a cultural fit to the environment and the company in general. Do they agree with the company values, mission and vision and mission, and what motivates them? Because you want to know that they not only are high performers individually or in their past experience, but also they will work together with their colleagues to become a high performing team. So it's back to Hawkins' idea in the first place that it's crucial as well to transform a high individual to a high individual team, a high performing individual to a high performing team.
And thank you, both Sebastian and Mona. You have almost into Mona's question is how to keep these high performers in the teams. And as Sebastian said, you have to challenge them. They also have to work with technologies that they really like, work with innovation, try new stuff, and everything like that. And that is something that we promote when we do this, the hiring, is that you have to have like innovation sprints, you have to have innovation time to just try new stuff. We let them. So.
One question, follow-up there, Håkan. Or sorry, Nona, were you going to continue there?
Yeah, no, I was curious to ask, like, from your previous experience, what kind of questions do you usually ask in the interview process to determine if the candidate is a cultural fit or not? Like, how do you know it? Sometimes it's like a gut feeling or intuitive, but is there a certain question that do you usually use to know that?
I think it's most a gut feeling. But also, since we're in the online gaming industry, it could be a little bit tricky. It's a sensitive area, and it's just a gut feeling that I get when I have these interviews, and also how you connect with the person. If you not just talk about the work related stuff, you also get a little bit personal with the person. Then you get a really good feeling.
A little provocative follow-up question to you, Håkan. What are your mental models around that there are, maybe not in our industry, but there is a set of people that don't maybe either like or can handle remote work as well? Are you worried that you maybe have a smaller selection of the market by doing that, or is it the optionality opens up for everyone? I'm thinking people who go, maybe you don't do that, but the remote only basically setup.
Yeah, it's we have a very extreme hybrid setup at our. If you want to be in the office, you're very much allowed to be in the office. If you want to work from home, you're very much allowed to do that. And since the Stockholm area is a little bit small, so we also start recruiting outside Stockholm, but inside Sweden. And they could come to the office one or twice per month to just hang out with the team. And when they come, they are from the northern part of Sweden, the southern part of Sweden. And when they fly into or come by train to Stockholm, then the whole team meets up and usually go out and have some dinner or something like that afterward, just to connect on a personal level also.
Amazing, Pavinda. I think that's really good. One question I have for you all, actually, is when you're talking about team culture and work-life balance and hybrid workplace, obviously the people, the high performers that you guys are interviewing will have their own opinions and ideas about what that setup looks like. How do you kind of manage any concerns or manage any ideas they have to make sure that it's going to work both ways? I think Mona touched on it at the start, that meeting the team is usually like one of the last interviews, but it can be the biggest important deciding factor for these individuals. So how do you kind of manage that throughout the process?
It's depending on the candidate. Sometimes you do this what we call the technical interview first, then and then meet. I'm also usually with the technical interview, and then it's do this more personal stuff, and also with meeting the recruiter. So they sometimes you meet the team first, and then move on to all these other questions later on.
How about you, Sebastian?
Every time. No worries. When I'm interviewing someone, I try to ask them this question that has no right or wrong answer, but like, what motivates you in the team? What is it more very important to you in a team environment that would empower you in general? So there is no right or wrong answer, but it's just to get to know the person better on a personal level. And then you have this information to determine if they're more cultural fit to the environment or this team or not so much. That's even before meeting with the whole team.
I think that one is it's a very good question to see what is important to people and bridge if there's any changes or any differences between their vision of the perfect place and your own visions for it. Because yeah, usually you want to build the best environment and the best place where your colleagues work at. So it's good to sort of take into consideration what the other person says and just be very clear if there is a very big discrepancy. Like if you have a policy, you can work from home 2 days a week and the person says, well, I need to work from home 4 days a week, then you need to address that very quickly. So I like that open-ended question to get to know the person, because yeah, there I've had people who have like very detailed views on things that I haven't thought about that is good to think about and communicate, and some people have just been like, I really need a mechanical keyboard, that's the most important thing in my job, and I'm like, okay, that's great, we can probably fulfill that. So that's a good one to ask.
Thank you for that. And I guess we've kind of touched on it, but like, why don't we go into a little bit more detail on bonus questions? Mind me doing to introduce you?
Sure. So it's more of, imagine we finished the hiring process. We identified the very high performing individual and we think they're going to be a cultural fit and they will work towards a high performing team. However, how do we keep them motivated? How do we keep this high-performing individual a high performer? I think it's super crucial and challenging as well. So how do you view this? What's your experience with this topic?
I think the most important thing to start with is to maybe not overuse that high performing person and you know, okay, if we're talking, you say aftermath, like let's say the 10% layoff or whatever that's been going around at big companies, to not make that high performer maybe fill in those 10% that is lost, but to manage expectations to begin with, and maybe also reframe the situation, be very transparent. That is always the most important part, to say, okay, this is what I know right now. This is direction we're going, why, and if anyone knows the plans for the future, be very transparent with that, obviously. But then also a high performer is usually, you know, standing out in some way, try to sort of appeal to that and use that as a strength in the situation. If the person likes to solve a lot of problems, then they have more space to solve a lot of problems, whatever it is. If they want to do some other activity, maybe strengthen them there and just say, you know, and lift forward what is the reality of the situation and point to what the plan forward is.
Yeah,
I totally agree there, Sebastian. It's like what can they contribute with? Is I hire these people because they want to contribute to the team. Their knowledge, I want to use the knowledge. So it's like they will tell us how we should move forward. It's and use that, and also as Master said, not to make them work like 150%. Still use them as much as they can work. Just normal work weeks, I think.
Definitely, I think it's also important to mention that this aftermath, or like what happens after, is very much different for each individual. So some of the candidates, or like who become eventually colleagues, are motivated to in like regular transparent feedback. Others are motivated with some space. They need their own space to have their own creativity, and others are willing more to get to be empowered. They are willing to. To be pushed a little towards the goal or the action. So it's important to highlight that each individual is different, and therefore their characteristic in towards keeping them as a high performance, as they already are, can be also different.
Nathan, perfect. Well, no, that's really good. I think we've spoken about quite a lot of different avenues here. Does anyone have any kind of follow-ons, any other thoughts or points of interest? No? Brilliant. Well, I think this has been a really, really good podcast for going through the full hiring process of what you guys do and how you've been so successful at it. I do think hiring is one of the most difficult things I know that a lot of people get the most stressed about, because it's such a big decision and it could affect so much of your team. And I'm sure everyone has made a bad hire in this conversation and been, I've just been hours on this person and it's not really worked out. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and ideas. If anyone has any further questions or wants to reach out to anyone, please let us know and we can introduce you. And anyone have any closing remarks, any final thoughts, tips for people listening?
One thing I thought about, but dropped the thought, but it's back again. In the aftermath scenario, you actually have the chance to make your high performer into a hero if you feel like he has the right profile for it. That's actually an opportunity that is very powerful that you can take if you have the chance to empower the person and tell them like, yeah, now we have the opportunity to really stand out. And I've seen some good experiences there where people step up, even making not explicit high performers stepping into the high performance role. So keep an eye out for that opportunity.
Exactly. And also one thing to make these high performers grow even more is to have like a guild with the high performers where they can meet from different teams and discuss stuff. And they really empower this the product that you're working with when you do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I had a thought about what the hiring process in general and the aftermath, that we have sometimes an unconscious bias, maybe towards extrovert or outspoken people. So being aware that we have, like as a human being, this unconscious bias deep within, can impact our decision making in the hiring. So once we're aware, it's we can avoid making decisions based on this unconscious bias. So I think it goes and it's aligned with what you both mentioned here in the aftermath. So. Yeah.
Amazing, Bobby. And about conscious bias, I think everyone struggles with that. Someone can come into a room and go, oh, I love exactly everything you love. And then you think, oh, we're going to get along great. Let's hire this person. And then they're terrible. We've all, like you said, I think we've all been there. So yeah, definitely something to be aware of. And what we do here to kind of avoid that is when you do the interviews, you have to like score numbers. I don't know whether, I think it's quite common. And then at the end, everyone has to like compare their scores and say, oh, I gave them this score for this reason. And we make it quite clear what those scores be, and then we add up and divide at the end. So then hopefully if someone has got that unconscious bias, they're able to like be caught out by their scores being completely different to everybody else in the interviews. But thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed this insight. I think it's been a great conversation. I'm going to stop the recording now. So thank you to everyone listening. But please reach out if you have any tips or tricks or things that you've struggled with, and we can definitely point you to the right direction to help.